Welcome to Monterey Bay This Week from KAZU News. It's Saturday, February 28th. I'm Elena Neal Sachs. Exciting news for Central Coast soccer fans. Monterey Bay FC has announced it's adding an amateur women's team this year, which will be part of the USLW League.
They call it pre-professional, which really means that players can retain their amateur status, play at the highest level in the summer, and keep their college eligibility.
Laura Van Wart will be the new team's head coach. She also coaches the Cal State Monterey Bay women's team. Monterey Bay FC is partnering with the nonprofit Salinas Soccer Femenil to host a free open tryout on March 8th at 10 a.m. at the Salinas Soccer Complex. A second tryout will take place March 28th at Cardinale Stadium.
First, we need to create a team that reflects our community.
Van Wart says many of the players she's coached at CSUMB are dual Mexican-American citizens.
A lot of the local players that, you know, have come through our program have actually really wanted to play in Mexico. And so this will also open up those opportunities.
Speaking of Mexico, the Monterey Bay FC men's team is hosting an international friendly against Liga MX team Pachuca at 7 p.m. tonight to celebrate a new partnership. And if you're looking to enjoy the beautiful weather ahead of tonight's match, consider volunteering to help restore native plants in Fort Ord or Moss Landing this morning. KAZU's Ngozi Cole was at a restoration event last weekend.
After days of rain, the sun is out on Saturday morning, and a group of volunteers is restoring native plants at the Marina Dunes Preserve. Ross Davidson of Pacific Grove has just finished planting some dune buckwheat.
I love the coastal ecosystem, and I'm excited to help out and restore some of the area.
This effort is part of the Habitat Stewardship Project Monterey Bay's restoration program. It not only gives people a chance to connect with nature, but also improves the ecosystem. Project manager Samuel Anaya says this helps give species like the endangered Smith's blue butterfly a place to safely lay their eggs.
These native plants hold the dunes together and provide food and shelter.
The plants are grown in a greenhouse at Cal State Monterey Bay. Volunteers then plant them around sites in the region, while also helping to clear out invasive species like ice plants. CSUMB student Kiana Lakan hopes more families will join in the restoration fun.
This is a really cool event for kids to see how restoration happens in their community and to be knowledgeable about their local ecosystems and habitats, because this is a really unique area ecologically and it's so cool.
CSUMB holds a broadcast license for KAZU.
Interested volunteers can choose between Fort Ord National Monument or Moss Landing State Beach. Both events take place today from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And one last weekend opportunity before we move on to other stories from the week. Katie Brown has the info.
The 12th annual Black History Month art exhibition at the Gilroy Center for the Arts is wrapping up this week. Louise Shields has curated the event since its inception and is one of four artists featured this year.
We are reflecting on the past, honoring the Black historical legends and the contemporary men and women who continue to make a significant impact in our world.
Those legends include Martin Luther King Jr., investigative journalist Ida B. Wells, and Carter G. Woodson. He founded Negro History Week a century ago, which led to the creation of Black History Month. Shields is also highlighting the stories of lesser-known African Americans in her art.
Claudette Colvin, who was really the first young lady that said, "I'm not giving up my seat for anyone just because of my skin color," and she doesn't get as noticed as Rosa Parks. So I wanted to make sure that those folks who aren't really always in the books, it's their story told and they're not forgotten.
Shields hopes people will
take away some knowledge, will take away some pride, will take away something that they did not know.
Today is the final day of the exhibition. A group that supports Black pregnant women in Monterey County is marking its third anniversary. Ngozi has more.
Founder LaVisha Franklin moved to Seaside from Alabama 8 years ago and felt there was a need. The community health worker and doula decided to create Queens Council, a nonprofit that supports Black birthing families in Monterey County.
Just want to make sure that our black birthing community knows that we are here, and there are providers who look like you, who understand you culturally.
State findings show Black people are 3 to 4 times more likely to die of pregnancy-related causes than other racial groups. And the Department of Public Health report says structural racism is behind these numbers. To address this, Queens Council has trained 12 Black doulas who support and advocate for families. Franklin says that improves care. She also wants more local research on Black maternal health.
Because the Black population in Monterey County is 3%, there has been no data collected for birthing experiences for the Black population. So that's another thing that Queens Council will be able to, as we continue to support this population.
Franklin plans to expand Queens Council to include lactation consultants and midwives.
That reporting from Ngozi Cole. Some unfortunate news this week out of Año Nuevo State Park, north of Santa Cruz, where researchers detected cases of bird flu in elephant seals. KAZU's Aaron Malsbury reports.
This is the first known avian influenza outbreak in northern elephant seals and in marine mammals in California. Roxanne Beltran is a professor at UC Santa Cruz who studies the 3,000 seals who spend part of the year at the park. At a press conference on Wednesday, she said the long-term monitoring program at Año Nuevo means researchers can closely track the disease and its effects.
We remain really concerned about the Año Nuevo elephant seal population, but it's also important to keep this particular outbreak in context. Avian influenza has affected only a small proportion of the weaned pups at this time. We're very grateful for that. And there are still thousands of apparently healthy animals in this population.
She added that most of the adult females had already left for an annual foraging migration when the outbreak began. Researchers say the risk is low, but humans can get bird flu from infected animals. If you come across a sick seal, call the Marine Mammal Center hotline.
In more state parks news, a Monterey County jury awarded $18.9 million this week to former city council member and attorney Helen Anthony in a lawsuit against the state. A Point Lobo State Natural Reserve docent hit Anthony in a crosswalk in 2023, resulting in life-changing injuries. The jury determined the state failed to properly train and supervise the docent. The last story we have for you this morning is a feature I reported about the local impact of federal housing programs. Here it is. The Trump administration tried last fall to drastically reduce the amount of federal grant money counties could use for permanent supportive housing programs. The effort was struck down in court for the current funding cycle. But if next year's requirements are similar, about 50 people in Monterey and San Benito counties would likely lose their housing. I've been talking to some of the people whose lives have been changed by these housing programs to understand what it would mean if they disappeared.
It was like kind of like a Wu-Tang style song I made.
On a Sunday evening in late January, I meet Tim Heaven at KHDC, a radio station in Salinas, where he hosts a weekly show.
This one's hot right now, so I'll play this one.
I wanted to talk to Heaven because he has a rare perspective on homelessness. He experienced it, he got out of it, and now he spends most of his time as a community health worker and an advocate for unhoused people. But he says that never would have happened if it weren't for this one program in Hollister.
The place in Hollister is the Helping Hands program. If I didn't get in that program and if I would have stayed like homeless, who knows where I'd be.
Helping Hands is a permanent supportive housing program. It provides housing as well as services like substance abuse treatment and job training. Those services were important for Heaven. He'd spent time in jail and prison in the 2010s and had been using drugs.
I still wasn't clean at the time when I got in there, and I was like, one of my fears is like, well, they're going to find out I'm still using.
But Helping Hands used an approach called Housing First, which prioritizes housing people without preconditions for sobriety, treatment, or income.
There's a misconception, I think, with Housing First, and that they think that, oh, we're just giving people housing. But no, Housing First is just a stability, and then the treatment comes once you got that stability.
Heaven says he's 2.5 years clean now. He has a full-time job as a caseworker for seniors in Hollister, and he's on several homelessness advisory committees locally and across the state.
I felt like we were really advancing as a compassionate society, but with this new administration and the federal government right now, I feel like we're taking so many steps backwards.
Last November, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, published a notice of funding opportunity, called a NOFO in the grant writing sphere. The NOFO was for a program called Continuum of Care, the single biggest source of federal homelessness prevention funding. But this NOFO said counties had to use less than 30% of the grant for the kind of programs that helped lift Heaven out of homelessness.
We were shocked by the 30% cap on permanent housing. That was really a gut punch to our continuum of care.
Katrina McKenzie is the executive director of the Coalition of Homeless Services Providers for Monterey and San Benito Counties. In 2024, the coalition spent about two-thirds of its HUD grant on permanent housing.
So going into 2025, that is what we were doing. This keeps people off the street.
A strong body of evidence suggests the Housing First model is the most effective way to reduce homelessness, and not just for people dealing with substance abuse.
I didn't wake up one day and say, I'm going to be homeless.
That's Bella Maddox. She's 68.
It happened, and it happened because my mom passed away, and we had to sell our house. I had nowhere to go.
Maddox serves on a local homelessness advisory board with Heaven. For the last few years, she's lived in a two-bedroom townhouse in Marina with her son and an ever-increasing number of cats. But for about a decade before that, she was living out of an RV.
Where do you go park without them harassing you, without them giving you a ticket? You know, it's something, it's always something.
Maddox has disabilities that make it hard to work, so she couldn't afford to rent anywhere. It was only after years of fighting for housing vouchers and working with a handful of dedicated homeless services staff that she finally found a place to live.
My apartment where I live is $2,400 a month. I pay $322. Section 8 pays the rest. And it took me 9 years to get on Section 8.
But even now that she's been housed for years, she still doesn't feel entirely secure.
What if something happens tomorrow and I can't be here? Then where am I going to go?
That fear is rational. A judge forced HUD to reinstate the old grant criteria for the 2025 NOFO. But McKenzie, with the coalition, is bracing for a similar effort this year.
That 2025 NOFO that dropped in November was the precursor of what the future is going to look like. I strongly believe that for the majority of wild and crazy things in that NOFO, that is what's going to drop in July of 2026.
If that happens, dozens of people in the area could fall back into homelessness. But McKenzie's not giving up.
Under my leadership, we're always going to do the right thing. If we have to do the things that we don't want to do, at least we're going to do it with the utmost respect and dignity and as harmless as we could possibly do it.
There are many ways that McKenzie's views on homelessness differ from the Trump administration's. But really, it all boils down to where they land on a pretty simple question. Should housing be something that's earned or guaranteed? And that's a wrap for this lovely Saturday. This episode was produced by me, Elena Neal Sachs. It was reported by me, Ngozi Cole, Aaron Malsbury, and Katie Brown. Amy Mayer is our news director. That's it for Monterey Bay this week. We'll be back next week with more local news.